This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am back with my guest here in the studio. Oh, in glorious Clearwater, Florida. I can't believe it. It's just so amazing. Rita Moreau is back. So happy to have you here. And we're talking about your new book, yes. Wheeler Dealer. And it's the first in your Ghost and Camper Kooky Mystery series.
Yes, and I am so excited to be here. I'm excited to be out, people.
Well, she's so excited she got here an hour early,
for goodness sakes.
My goodness.
I'm still on the other time zone. So yes. I'm excited. Yes.
Wow.
And thank you for having me.
Well, you know, Rita... Rita Moreau is known here in the studio as One Take Rita. She does our book buzzes. Of course, you've been on before for your other series,
yes.
The Mary Catherine Mahoney series. Wonderful, wonderful series.
Thank you.
But this new one, you came out with an idea and you ran with it. And tell us how you came out with the idea.
Well, I think you had a little involvement in that because you gave me the idea. Huh? I don't know if you remember, but you did give me this idea to write a series about camping.
And
you probably don't remember, but you
don't. I know.
I'm giving you this credit.
I asked you about your experience with RVs because
yes.
you mentioned that you and your husband used
yes,
to do this.
We
after
did.
You
we
retired.
Did after I retired. We had a Bluebird and we went out camping. We went all out west to the national parks. It was wonderful. Yes, and so, yeah, that's how I came up with this series.
And so you came out with this idea, and you came out with a character. Explain,
yes.
well, let's say two characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Explain
you know
that.
What? I think how I'm going to explain that, if it's okay with you, because you're the boss, I'm going to read the prologue, and that gives you a quick...
Excellent idea.
Because I ramble on, so even though I'm known as One Take Rita. All right, here we go. And this is from Wheeler Dealer. All right, we're in Savannah, Georgia. My name is Mabel Gold, and over the last couple of years, my life took an unexpected detour. What was to be the golden years, you know, playing with grandchildren and lots of baking, turned into the are you kidding me years when my husband Jack lost his mind and traded me in for Tiffany. She's about the same age as my youngest daughter, Bianca, but with bigger boobs, store-bought. I've been trying to get my life back, driving a pickup and towing a vintage camper around this beautiful country. My five kids think I've lost it, and maybe I have, because I have company. A specter, a ghost, a spirit, whatever you want to call her. Her name is Irma, and I can see her as plain as day. Neither of us know why. We're still trying to figure that out. She's as stubborn and hard-nosed as me. It's a wonder we can even talk to each other since we both never learned to bite our tongues. Irma is stuck in purgatory. You know, where you go to make up for past deeds when you are among the living. She checks in with St. Peter from time to time at the pearly gates. She says it reminds her of checking in with her parole officer. So far, he has sent her packing each time. Back down the rainbow bridge she goes until she serves her time, and St. Peter hands her the get-out-of-jail card. But I digress. This is how it all began. Buckle up. We're going for a ride, and I hope you like camping.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
And you will. You will enjoy camping with
yes.
the readers.
Yes.
Rita, this is a fun. It's going to be a fun series, and this first book is sets the tone for it because tell us a little bit about Irma.
Well, Irma is a ghost and she's stuck in purgatory. She can't get out of purgatory. She was a showgirl in Vegas, and then she somehow graduated into hooking, and then she became a madam of what we used to call in the old days a cat house. So Irma had a son. His name was Walt, and she had to give him up for adoption. But luckily, her sister Betsy adopted him. So from afar, she was able to watch Walt grow up. So Walt got into law enforcement, and somehow Irma was tipped off that there was a hit out ordered for Walt. So she showed up at Walt's camper, and she took a bullet for Walt. And that's how she ended up in purgatory, and that's how she ends up in this camper, which Mabel bought.
From there, starts the adventure. And, of course, for Mabel, it's the beginning of a new lifestyle.
It is.
Camping, well, was it exciting for you? Did you like camping?
At first, I was apprehensive. But my husband, I have followed him in airplanes, in boats, and in this Bluebird camping. So it was terrific. It was phenomenal.
Well, both of you had long careers in an office. You were office people.
We were
stuck
CPAs,
in an office for
CPAs.
Years and years and years.
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
suddenly to break out and
yes.
just get out there.
Well, my husband back in the day, he was a true hippie. He drove a motorcycle all across the country. So I would say he has a gypsy soul. So I followed him and I trusted him. And it was terrific. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed it, yes.
You know, it is a big deal to do that.
It is.
You have to take on
is.
A lot of responsibility.
Well, you do, and you're out there on the road, kind of like on your own. It's kind of like, you know, back in the day, the wagon trains went out west. So it is, and it was worth it, though.
And
it
so you fun. Put all of that into the book and
I
to
did.
Make it very realistic. And Mabel, of course, is going to have lots of adventures along the way. She starts off with an adventure, and it continues, and it grows. And over the next, I don't know how many books, we hope many, many, many books. Dozens of books. There's so many places to go in America.
Well, there is. The first stop in Wheeler Dealer is Savannah. And so there she kind of decided that she was tired of being a third wheel, you know, after the divorce and Jack going crazy. She decided she was going to get her own camper. So with the help of her friend Lily and Bob, she bought a vintage camper, a vintage Airstream camper.
Ooh,
and that's
beautiful.
The camper haunted by Irma. So she takes off, and along the way, and there's so many places we can go to, she will be solving murders with Irma with the hopes that this will be enough to get her out of purgatory, past the pearly gates, and out of Mabel's vintage camper.
But not too soon, I think, because
no,
we want to go to a lot of places.
We are. We're going to Savannah first. The second one, Murder on Honky Tonk Row, which will take place in Nashville. That will be out in August. Then the third one I'm working on is Murder in the Badlands.
Wow. So Rita,
yes.
here you were working in an office life,
yes.
And when you retire, you decide, I'm going to be an author.
Well, when I retired, I was like, okay, I'm retired, now what? And I just can't sit still, sit in a rocking chair. We're very lucky to be close to the beach. I can't sit on the beach all day. I had to continue doing something with my brain. And so I've always wanted to write, and so I jumped into writing.
And so you jumped in, and you wrote your first series, and it was a learning experience.
Yes, it was. I wrote my first series, the Mary Catherine Mahoney series. And when you first start writing, if you've taken any writing courses, one thing you will learn is that, well, just write what you know. So I wrote about Mary Catherine, MC short. She worked for the IRS, and she sort of got booted out because she uncovered something that shouldn't have been uncovered. And so she comes back to fish camp, and she opens up an accounting office. And so Mary Catherine and her two fortune-telling aunts, Aunt Sophia and Aunt Anna, they get involved in a lot of quirky things, too. So although my books are in the cozy genre, I want to say they're more kooky than the traditional cozy formula.
Well, they're kooky, and in Mary Catherine Mahoney, they're Greek aunts.
Yes, yes.
And the wonderful thing, I love this when an author has a hook that she can use when she's going to go out and market. And in Rita's case, she has two hooks in the Mary Catherine Mahoney series. One, there are nuns.
Yes.
And so sometimes when she does an event, she dresses as a nun. So you actually notice her really.
very quickly when she walks into a room full of authors. And then, of course, it's the Greek ants. So she's at her book releases. She had the last book release I went to. She has Greek food. I mean, yes. Yeah, like I'm going to go to that book release.
Yes, yes. A lot of people showed up for the food, I think. But yes, I do dress up. I have two characters who somehow, you know, when you write a book, if you and you've talked to many, many authors, some that live in my Kindle, these characters start talking to you. So out of the blue, these two nuns started talking to me. And maybe it's from my parochial school days. So I have Sister Hildegard and Sister Matilda. And so I do. I thought, well, what the heck? I'll dress up like a nun. You have to market.
It works. And it works for marketing because
it's important.
The name of the game today is marketing. You have to be able to do your marketing. And you've learned so much just in the past few years as I've known you, seen the change in you and how you've developed as an author and also as a person who can market her books. Because so many people, they'll write a very nice book, and it just sits there. And then they wonder what's happening. They'll put it onto, everybody, of course, puts it onto Amazon. And it could sit there forever. And, you know, it's difficult.
It is.
And
it is.
You have discovered many things that other people don't know yet.
Well, I think it came along with being a indie author. You have to learn all these things. You have to learn about marketing. You have to wear all the hats. And even nowadays, and you'd probably agree, even if you have a traditional publisher, an agent, you still have to do your marketing. Unless your name is blah 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 blah. You know, you still have to do the marketing.
You still have to do it. And you have to come out, you have to try to come out with ideas that will help you to promote your books. Now, L.A. Chandler, who writes a wonderful series of Art Deco books, her sort of thing is her character wears red shoes.
Yes.
And L.A. Chandler wears red shoes when she goes to an event. Every time I've seen her at a BoucherCon or any book convention, everybody else at the convention is generally dressed very badly, drab. You don't even notice them. But L.A. Chandler, and I call her Lala, she will come walking down the hallway, and she's wearing these red shoes.
Yes, I remember that.
And so even if you're walking and your head is down as you're walking down the hallway, you see those shoes, you look up, and you say, ah!
Like ruby red shoes.
That's it.
You know?
And,
yeah.
And with you, of course, when somebody walks in with a dressed as a nun, you notice. And now I'm a little bit worried. Are you going to come in dressed as a showgirl, a very leggy showgirl?
You know, I haven't. You know,
with a boa.
Here again, Patsy, you're giving me idea.
This is going to be exciting.
This is good.
I know. Next time I see her at a book release, she's going to have that boa.
I'm going to get me a sequin outfit.
I have a feeling. Yeah. This is it. Well, but that's part of the fun now.
It is. It is part of the fun. And it's part of the fun. Learning is difficult, but it is, you know, writing is very, you're there by yourself all day long. And I tend to be a social person, so I miss that. But as you become more of a writer, you do reach out to other writers and you get to know them. And it is part of the fun. You share information. So, it's fun. It's all fun.
And then as you're writing, of course, your characters do tend to take over.
They do. They do.
They sort of, at some point, they start, they tell you where they want to go.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And right now, Mabel and Irma are anxious. I've been spending the last month with marketing because we're launching the book today. But Mabel and Irma is anxious for me to come back and spend some time with them. So, yeah.
Well, what are some of the other places that when you and your husband, George, I can say his name?
Yes.
I can say his name?
Yes.
George is my favorite name. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. I have a 10-foot giraffe outside my front door named George. When I was a kid, I named everything George. My dogs, cats, hamsters. I had some white rat. Everything was George.
Well?
A suitcase was George. I just was crazy about this name. And so your George, who's an absolute, he's a doll. He's so sweet.
He brags he's the author's husband.
Yes. I know. He's really happy to go around. And he's so cute. And he's, I'm the author's husband. I'm the...
Let me hand you a book.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you and George, what name a few of the other places that we can look forward to that you guys enjoyed.
Well, right now, the third book will be in the Badlands, but we parked ourselves right near the Grand Canyon. That entire area there would definitely have a situation going on there. Then we went to Montana and Wyoming, and we were there in the Rocky Mountains up in that part of the country. We didn't get over to Canada because at the time you needed to have your passports, and we didn't have them with us. So we spent a lot of time out west. We went to, I can't think off the top of my head, but we just really, it was just so beautiful. It just took your breath away. And we had a great time. We had a great time.
Well, there's a lot of adventures to be had in the Montana area.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy.
And we took thousands of pictures. And as an indie author, you really have to become proficient on social media. So right now I'm trying to get the hang of Instagram. And so I'm hoping to be posting a lot of those, use those pictures, recycle those pictures on Instagram.
Well, one of the things you can do is you can, you know, they have this trip software. You can do your trips. And so you can do that with your photographs and you can turn them into like a little map so that people can follow go through your trips on Instagram. It'll be fun. You'll have lots of material to put on Instagram.
Oh, I will. And this is the thing about writing. It's like I'm using my brain. I've retired. I left a great job. It was very interesting. But retirement, you have to have something to retire to. It's something my brother Sam told me.
Yeah, you do. You really do. Because too many people think that, you know, I'm going to retire and that's it. And then what do? You can't watch reruns of NCIS forever.
And there's
forever.
So much golf you could play.
Yeah, and so much golf. And you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have something. To use those gray cells.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because you have all these neurons in your brain. And they make connections, but they don't make connections if they're not used. If you use the same one over and over, you just do the same thing over and over, your brain uses only that part of the brain.
That's true. And that's why I think if you study that, they will say, it's okay to do crossword puzzles. It's okay to do this, but you need to do something new, like learn how to play the piano. Write a book.
Exactly. You need a multiple.
Yes.
You know, in your brain needs an environment that's just moving and active. And one of the things, of course, partly when you're writing, you have that creative part, but then you also have the research part where you have to check on the facts and check that what you're writing about is accurate.
And you have, as an indie author, you have the marketing. I think one of the very first things I learned you need an editor. I mean, and maybe you need more than one editor. You need an editor. Right now, there's a lot of information out there for indie self-published authors and for traditional published authors also, as far as marketing. There's a lot of classes you could take, but it behooves you to learn it yourself. You have to learn Facebook. You have to learn Twitter. You have to learn Instagram. And you have to make a connection with your readers. That's what they're looking for. They love that. They love that.
And you have, for example, you have already a nice list of email.
I do. And I have to say, and I'm just going to give you another pat on the back. I have to thank you, Patsy. Not too long ago, Patsy pointed out to me that my website was hacked. And she was very, very helpful in getting it back up and running.
Yeah,
so thank
you. Because you need to have a nice website. The ability to collect people's
emails. Emails is very important.
And, of course, you do a very nice newsletter.
I've been working on that, too, yes, with your help. So, yes, I have.
And, of course, you did the pre-sale.
I did.
And that worked out very, very nice.
Yes, I did something I had never done before. Last year during the pandemic, since we really had no place to go, I sat down and pretty much wrote these two books. And I did it with the idea that I always, as a retired CPA, I always work better with a deadline. I did it with the idea, well, it's a new series, I could pitch it to some traditional publishers. Because with a traditional publisher, they're going to give you a deadline. So I thought, nowadays, one book a year is fine for, the Michael Connellys, the Lee Childs, but not for authors at my level. So I've written two books, and I did reach out. I had some interest from some nice traditional publishers, but with the pandemic, that all kind of threw it. Yeah. The publishing world went crazy.
It did. It happened.
So, yeah. So I do have two books. They were already done, and I said, I'm going to try this pre-order. And actually, it's on Amazon. It worked out very well. Worked out very well because it helps with your ranking, which is something important on Amazon.
Yes, this is very important. Yeah. Pre-orders, Amazon takes note. They have an algorithm.
They do.
And they take note of people who get pre-orders. Now, of course, some people, like Lee Child, the minute a book comes out, people pre-order it, and they have like a million pre-orders.
And that
would happen to Mary Higgins Clark. Every time she'd come out with a book, she told me, it was so funny, she said, well, I've come out with a book today, and she'd be on the program, and we'd talk about the new release, and she said, well, but tomorrow I'm going to sell a million.
Of
the book that it's not done yet.
Yes, she was quite something.
She was a character.
And I'm so honored to have spoken to her for a second one time.
I know, when you had her on her show. She's so fantastic. Yeah. But this pre-order thing, it works.
It does work. Wonderful thing.
And you've learned so much over this time.
I have. I really have.
And what is your webpage?
My webpage is ritamoreau.com.
ritamoreau.com.
Yeah,
oh, that's real easy.
It's easy, easy,
and
easy,
now
peasy.
You're very active on Facebook.
I'm learning how to do Facebook ads, so I am more active,
It's something that you have to, as you said, you have to learn yourself.
You can't.
Because,
well, you can hire somebody it will cost you a lot of money. They're out there waiting for you.
But it is. It's very expensive to hire somebody.
It is.
And the thing is, it's still, they can't do what you can do. They can't, that personalization of what's sort of instantaneous for you. If you have an idea on a certain day, they can't work on that day and get that idea out. But your idea, and if you're good at Facebook, if you're good at these things, you can
BookBub, Amazon, and you have to have some knowledge so that you can work with them, too. Yeah. I mean, they can't just, if they pick it out of the blue, it might not be what you're looking
for.
So you don't have time to waste.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And things move fast in this business.
It really does.
But I think you've done a terrific job.
Thank you.
And the new book
covers
is beautiful.
Are beautiful. And
this is one of the things that, I've told you when you started that, being an author is like you dream about having a cupcake bakery, but there's a lot that goes into it besides your grandmother's recipes. You have the recipe, you have then to work on so many things, and there's expenses, and you have to pay for certain things. You have to buy the equipment. You have to pay for the signage.
You have to run it like a business.
You have to consider writing as a business.
Yes, not
otherwise,
a hobby.
If it's a hobby and you're just going to write the book and put it on Amazon, it's going to stay there forever. But it's not going to move unless you decide that this is my business and I am going to tackle it as a business. Invest. Sometimes you have to invest.
Oh, yes, you do.
You've invested in yourself.
Yes.
Whether it's a really smart cover or editing, whatever.
Formatting.
Exactly.
Everything. Websites. Yes.
It's a business, and then it can pay off. And at the same time, you have lots of fun because
you do.
It really makes you
get excited when you know the most exciting thing is when you get a review. And the reader says, I really needed this. I needed this time away from that crazy world. And I sat down, I loved your book, and it just made me laugh. And that really is why we write, just to have that feedback.
It is a wonderful feeling to know that you are bringing joy to people's lives. Giving them something.
And you have to remember that.
Yeah, you have to remember that. And you have to think about that. you have a responsibility to write the best you can so that when somebody sits down and they read your book, it's a time for them,
yes,
away from everything else, whatever problems, and like in this case, pandemics.
In this past year.
You forget about everything. That's why I love to read. I'm in another world. And Rita Moreau, you have done it, with this book.
And thank you, Patsy. I couldn't have done it without your support and help, so I thank you.
And, of course, without my sister, Natalie.
Oh, my goodness.
The connoisseur of mysteries.
Yes, we can't forget Natalie.
No, because
I'm beholden to Natalie.
Natalie, from the minute I gave her your very first book, she said, Rita is a really great writer, and she's going to be a winner. And I said, you're right.
Yes.
And so I
have to thank Natalie, too, the both of you.
Yeah, because you are really great.
Well, thank you.
And I'm just, it's like what I say to everybody last time. RitaMoreau.com is her website.
RitaMoreau.com.
Okay, remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book.
Yes.
Or if you're very lucky to hear those magic
words,
lights, camera,
action!
And your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like we're hoping for Carol J. Perry, which
Fingers
City
crossed.
Mysteries.
Yes.
And I'm hoping for Rita Moreau when she gets about 15 books in, we can start talking about a series on the Hallmark
Fingers
Channel.
Fingers crossed.
That's right. Yeah. But she has to have more product. That's what she wants to do.
I got to go home and start writing.
Get home. She got here early.
I did.
1 hour early. So now she's
I'm always early. My family will tell you that.
Okay. Well, Rita Moreau, thank you so much
for being
in the studio today with me.
Thank you.
And I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room.
Thank you, Big Ed.
Okay, Big Ed, thank you. We love you. And he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him, because I really should have been a general. I'd have been a great general.
You should have. Yes, ma'am.
So
Roger
good.
That.
That's it. Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful weekend.